Hello, here I am, your friendly neighborhood fiction author and liminal space enthusiast, Talha Fadzilla. And I've been told that I should include this unscripted rambling segment in my series because apparently it's more natural, some people say. So here I am, and that said, this segment may or may not be edited. And there you go, I just paused the recording right there and continued again because my speech just drifted away too far. What I wanted to say was, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be seeing a slideshow of liminal space photos. And if you're listening to this on a podcast platform, you'll just be hearing some possibly calming music in the background, and you'll just be hearing me ramble, basically. So although I do refer to myself as a liminal space enthusiast, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm an expert. I don't really consider myself an expert at all. You know, in my opinion, liminal spaces are more subjective. You know, I was on a subreddit just scrolling through, and I saw this photo that I myself did not consider a liminal space, and the heading said, does this qualify as a liminal space or something like that? And you know, I went to the comment section just to see what people said about it, and I found this two guys just going off at each other over whether it qualifies or not. They're like just arguing back and forth, really long comments. I mean, I did not consider it to be a liminal space photo, but you know, that I didn't feel the need to argue and fight over it. You know what I mean? It's a subjective matter. Some people considered it to be a liminal space photo, and I didn't. So who am I to say that it isn't? Anyway, who is Talha Fadzilla and what is Amberlight? Talha Fadzilla and Amberlight are basically, as it is right now, two of the same thing. I am Amberlight and Amberlight is me. So, I mean, I consider Amberlight to be more of a brand name, more like a pen name of sorts. I call it a studio. It's my creative studio. And I am a fiction author and a studio rat, you know, because I like to do all things creative. I do art. I write primarily. I'm a storyteller. Primarily, I write fiction. And, you know, I'm actually getting into 3D right now, Blender. And as of my direction, as in Amberlight's direction right now, I'm planning to go liminal space. I'm planning to go liminal space fiction, liminal space stories. I'm planning to do animations as well, animated stories, but I just started Blender, so just give me some time to get used to it first. As for my written fiction works, I've actually always been depicting dark, big, empty places and corridors and stairwells a lot in my fictional works, because even before I knew the term liminal spaces existed, I've always had a sort of interest in these places. I just didn't know that there were more people like me that were interested in it, and that there was actually a thing called liminal spaces. So yeah, I just thought that Amberlight heading in that direction would be a very natural course. You should check out my book, Butterflies, and it's just full of liminal spaces. Anyway, let's get on with today's episode of Pella's Wish for a Liminal World. Episode 3, Panorama Mattel. Yesterday was a weekend, and Enzo Buzan had decided to stay in to sweep the floor and dust off his walls and furniture. When he was done maintaining the cleanliness of his apartment, he hung up the painting he had purchased from Daydream Plaza last week. By then, the sky was already dark because Enzo always takes his time with everything he does. He then made himself a cup of cold milk coffee and set it on the windowsill, and then drew his curtains open and sat in the chair looking out at the dull view outside. The weather yesterday was particularly foggy, especially at night, and so he could only see as far as the tree and vacant house across the road. The light from the lamppost outside his window was wavering, brighter, dimmer, brighter, as though it was telegraphing Morse code for Enzo to go outside and rejoice in the glorious, lonely night. It was cold outside, and this was what tempted Enzo to get outside the most, but he had already planned to fix up the building toy he had purchased last week. The end result of the building toy would be a diner, and since it was relatively complex to build, he had to spend a few hours on it. For the most part, it would take that long because Enzo enjoys the process just as much as the result, and Enzo enjoys taking his time with everything he does. When Enzo was done sipping his cold milk coffee to the last drop at his window, he picked up the toy package from the dinner table and brought it to his study table. He flicked the switch to power on his study lamp and then proceeded to carefully unpack the contents of the package. Once the package was empty, he read through the instructions booklet one time, and then the second time he read through it, he organized the building pieces in rows respective to what their function was according to the booklet. The third time he read through it, he simultaneously inspected each piece carefully as to understand them more thoroughly. Before he began building, he cross-checked the number of pieces that were on his desk against the amount stated in the booklet. Then he began building the foundation whilst checking the booklet from time to time. Once the foundation of the miniature dino was built, he skimmed through the booklet 5 times more and then let his creativity take control from there. This wasn't the first time he had built a miniature building using similar pieces. Indeed, he had done it enough times for the process to be a breeze, but each time Enzo prefers to be thorough. He wanted the windows and doors to be in the best places. He wanted it to look just complete and not cluttered with unnecessary details. The building process involved glue, and so when it was finished, Enzo let it dry until it was stable enough while he made himself a cup of cold black coffee and sat at his window again. By the time the glue holding the miniature diner together had dried, it was already past midnight. He tested the stability of the build. It was stable enough to not fall apart into pieces when picked up, or even dropped for that matter. Flicking the study lamp switch off, he took the toy diner from his study table and brought it to his bookcase where he then set it atop an empty, spacious shelf. This shelf was at the level of Enzo's chest, so it wasn't a strain for him to linger there, fingering his chin and staring at his work of art. For another hour before he had begun his bedtime routine, he had made himself yet another cup of cold milk coffee and sat at his window. The street light still hadn't stopped telegraphing Morse code to Enzo. But there are many more days in which he can head outdoors to bask in the glory of the cold, lonely night. There are many more nights in which he will, though. In fact, it is what he already does on many nights, if not most nights. It is only that he had planned on staying in yesterday. Today, however, Enzo wakes up with a plan to stay at Panorama Motel for the night. When sunlight shines in this town, it is never too bright, and so Enzo is always greeted with a gentle day when he opens his eyes. There shouldn't be much for him to pack for his stay at Panorama Motel. There would be his toiletries, pajamas, and another set of clothing apart from the one he will be wearing today. With his eyes fixed on his ceiling, he remains still in bed and takes a few moments to breathe. Then he tilts his head to the side and stares at his window and chair while continuing his breathing exercise. The swooshing of the breeze outside his window is a tad louder than on most days. When the wind is this strong, it makes a wonderful sound when lingering in a long tunnel. So he should visit a tunnel sometime today. Before visiting the tunnel, he should visit the dark concrete skeleton of the abandoned construction project beside his apartment block. There will be many visits to irregular places the day he is sure, but before any of this, he must get out of bed first, have himself a cup of cold black coffee and a glass of water while staring out his window, and then he can begin the rest of his wake-up routine. Enzo lifts his upper body from bed, rubs his eyes and stretches his arms as high up as he can. He hears the crackles and pops of his bones as his body loosens up. Then he slithers his way backwards to sit back against the headboard. He eyes his white walls, how the sunlight streaming in through his window paints a portion of his wall with a dull golden color. Enzo brushes his teeth, spits out the froth, rinses out his mouth with water, goggles his mouthwash for 30 seconds, lathers face wash onto his face and rinses it off. Then he slips into his clothes and combs his hair in the mirror. Now he is ready, but before he leaves his house for the entire day, he must pack a few of his belongings for his stay at Panorama Motel. He pulls out a sling bag from his wardrobe and a small toiletry bag. In the toiletry bag, he stores his toothbrush, toothpaste, face wash, and comb, and tucks the toiletry bag into the sling bag along with an extra set of clothes. After packing his few things, Enzo stares up at the ceiling and goes through his mental checklist of items. What he has should suffice. If there is anything he has forgotten to bring, Panorama Motel isn't very far from where he stays. It is only a short trip away. Standing at his bookcase, he eyes the miniature diner he had built last night. In the day, it has a different look to it than it does at night, even though its placement in the bookcase is surrounded by his shadows anyway. Perhaps the difference is mostly due to imagination. In the day, Enzo imagines it has a more active energy, although he cannot picture any patrons inside the diner. At night, Enzo imagines that he is the only person inside the diner, sitting in a booth by the window. After rechecking the contents of his bag to make sure he has everything he needs, he grabs his keys from the key hanger by his door, switches off all the lights and leaves. Standing outside, he checks to both sides of the corridor, then closes and locks his door. As is usually the case, he goes left in the corridor, heading towards the stairwell rather than going right to the lift lobby. He pushes open the stairwell door and is greeted with the hum buzz of the wavering fluorescent light above. The hum buzz is not usually this loud, and so he lingers there for a while more than he usually would. Closing his eyes, he leans back against the white wall and listens to the electric murmuring in the silence. The wavering light casts beams of white against his eyelids, so he bows his head down, his chin to his chest. It is like the sound of a solitary electrical entity wandering an abyss and finding peace. When he opens his eyes, he has lost track of time. He has no idea how long he was standing here against the wall with his eyes closed, but he still has an insatiable appetite for the hum buzzing of the fluorescent light. He could stay here for much longer than he already has. Perhaps a nice view would go great with this sound. He takes one flight of stairs down to stand on the landing below. Over there, he can still hear the fluorescent light above, and he tiptoes to look through the small window in the wall. He looks at the abandoned construction project through the foggy window. It is a concrete skeleton standing beside his apartment. On each platform of dark gray concrete, there is a staircase leading up to the next platform. There are three staircases and three platforms. It was after they had laid down these constructs that they had realized that this building would be rendered useless, that there was no point in completing it, and so they might as well discontinue it right there and then and let it rot, rather than wasting any more resources on it. Now here it is, a glorious, dark, useless, empty structure for Enzo to lay his eyes upon. This studio apartment wouldn't quite be the same place without this rotting concrete waste standing beside it. These two structures were meant to coexist. It is now time for Enzo to pay his respects to this apartment's dead twin. Taking the flight of stairs down to the floor below, he enters the corridor and takes the lift from the lift lobby there. As he waits, he watches the view outside the window beside the lift doors, the row of tall, shy trees that are all distant from one another. The lift arrives with its ever-so-boring ding, and Enzo enters the silver metal box, depressing the button that will take him down to the basement-level parking lot. Once he is inside his car, he starts the engine and lets it warm up for some 5 minutes while he doubles back to the lift lobby room in the basement level. Last week, he had had a dream about a glass room in a parking garage that had loosely resembled this lift lobby room. Outside the glass room in the dream, the parking garage was cold, empty, and the heavy fog had obscured his view and made the parking garage seem endless. He had then wandered into the fog and found the edge of the parking garage where there was an abandoned building across a steep gap. It was then that he realized he was dreaming, and just as he was floating over to the building, he had woken up. Leaning back against the lift lobby wall, Enzo looks up at the fluorescent light above and wonders if he will meet that dreamland from last week. It was the best dream he had had this whole 2 months. The last dream before that being set in a gigantic playroom with a massive ball pool. There were no children around, and he himself wasn't a child. The colors in this dream were dull, although they were meant to represent playful, bright colors. Purple, pink, red, orange, white. When he had threaded his way out of the ball pool, he had realized he was dreaming. And he had stepped onto a jungle gym slide that slid him down into a swimming pool room. This was the best dream he had had all year, and possibly ever had. Enzo drives up the ramp and exits the parking lot. The fair amount of sunlight that penetrates the foggy sky streams down and through his windshield. He winds down his window and sticks his arm out to feel the cold wind as he drives at a slow pace. The car rumbles and grumbles as it rolls up the ramp. It is a miracle that this car hasn't given way yet. It is old, underserviced, and undermaintained. Still, it has brought Enzo to so many places far and wide, and it has always seemed to be on the brink of its death, yet it continues to serve Enzo well. At the top of the ramp, Enzo slows down to savor the view before him. Finally, the car straightens onto the road at the end of the ramp, and Enzo takes in an eyeful of the grassland across the road ahead. The small tree on the shallow hill in the grassland waves at him as he drives ahead and then stops before the turning onto the main road. He eyes both sides of the empty road and then takes a right turning. A very short distance away on the right, the abandoned construction project is sitting and waiting for Enzo as he drives as slowly as ever to get over to it. He parks his car at the roadside and kills the engine. And as he exits his car and locks the door, he looks up and down the dark structure, his hair swaying in the wind, 4 locks grazing his eyelashes. Smiling as though at a friend he hadn't met in a long time, he pushes his hair back, looks down at his shoes, and continues walking towards the darkness and the foggy day. He ascends the 5 small steps leading up to the open entrance between the 2 pillars and looks around as he enters. He eyes the cracks in the ceiling and walls, and how traces of nature have found their home inside this dead urban construct. There are creepers climbing along the drab walls, patches of moss in the corners, though the building still hasn't lost too much of its original color, a predominantly dark gray that intermingles with portions of a lighter gray. Daylight streams through the apertures where windows should be, though there are no glass panes in any of them. Enzo makes his way over to one of the apertures and rests his hands down on the sill. He looks up at the sky, at how a milky layer of fog prevents the sun from casting too much of its brilliant golden beams. Bringing his eyes back down, he looks across the road from him, at the vacant detached house in the long stretch of plain green grass. He sits on the sill and lets his gaze wander along the A-frame roof and tall rectangular windows of the house. Then he brings his eyes back inside the dead building, readjusting his sitting position on the sill to fill his view with the emptiness. A few strings of sunlight that have found their way deeper inside the building glimmer on the treads of the staircase before Enzo. The staircase is practically calling for Enzo to climb up to the platform above, but Enzo takes his time to get soaked in the energy of the ground floor first. Only then he stands up and away from the windowsill and begins towards the staircase. As he approaches, he waves away the glimmering dust particles before his eyes and then proceeds to climb his way up the stairs. Standing on the topmost tread, he studies the next floor of the building. As he had expected, it was similar to the floor below, except that up here he can imagine an office space. Perhaps in another reality, this construction project was completed and had become an underused office building instead. Perhaps in that reality, it was abandoned soon after it was completed. Enzo wanders over to the glassless aperture where there would be a completed window in the other reality. He looks through the window and imagines that, where there is the vacant detached house in this reality, there is a brick wall in the other. No, there will be an outdoor train station that no longer receives any passengers or trains. An abandoned one, that's it. In this other reality, the building beside this abandoned office building will be an indoor swimming pool that is still in business but that rarely greets any customers. It will be maintained and kept clean. There will be a room inside there, another swimming pool where there is a tiled pillar between the low ceiling to the base of the deep pool. Enzo wanders over to where he can see his studio apartment building through the glassless aperture. He leans sideways against the wall and looks at one of the windows in the third floor of their apartment. In the other reality, that would be where the locker rooms are, the third floor. The lower half of the walls will be blue tiles in one locker room and red tiles in the other locker room. The upper half of the walls will be white concrete. The lockers will all be identical. Now, what awaits Enzo on the next floor in this dead building? He turns away from the aperture and proceeds towards the next staircase leading up to the second floor. He ascends it and pretends that he enters another office space. Over here there is a maze of cubicle walls. The lights here are not functioning because, of course, this office building has long been abandoned. It is dim and cozy. Slivers of sunlight fight through the tinted windows to find a place in this heaven that protects itself from the outside world. In this reality, Enzo sits on the bare concrete, but over there, in the other reality, he is sitting on a dark gray carpet between two red cubicle walls, hiding himself from the slight sunlight like a vampire. A gust of wind wakes Enzo up from his daydream and tempts him to go visit a tunnel where the sound of wind will be something magnificent. He must go there while the weather is as such. At Little Boulevard, Enzo parks his car by the train track and then exits the car, shuts his door and walks along the train track to get to the tunnel. This is a tunnel where a train should exit from, if this weren't a dead train station. In fact, no train has used these tracks for the past 5 years. Enzo used to sit at the top of the shallow slope leading down to this track. It is silent as ever. Little Boulevard is a 30-minute drive away from Enzo's studio apartment. At the pace at which he drives, that is. In the day when driving through Little Boulevard, the fog obscures one's vision of what's ahead, but there is only what seems like endless fields of grass and rows of seemingly empty houses along an old road. At night, it is nearly pitch dark in most parts of the area, if not for the few houses that switch their lights on, as a mercy of sorts for the wanderers outdoors, against the surrounding darkness, though the lights from the houses have an eerie glow to them. What makes Little Boulevard most special to Enzo is the train station. Especially at night, At night, whoever owns the building perhaps switches the power on sometimes, and so it glows like humanity's last hope in this black hollow that is Little Boulevard. When the power is off, though, it is as though the whole world has fallen into a long slumber and Enzo is the last person awake, who wanders around the earth, picking up fond, bittersweet memories that passers-by have dropped on the way to the transits, where they will be headed to an airport, where they will leave their silent hometown that is Pella's wish. And when they reach the airport, the world fell asleep. All in all, at night, Little Boulevard station is as glorious with its lights on than it is when it is off. Standing at the entrance of the tunnel leading into the boarding zone of the station, Enzo looks up at what he can see of the top of the building. Sometime this week or the next, he will return here. It has been a long time since he has been here at night. Turning his gaze back down to the darkness ahead, he finally enters the tunnel and lets himself drift further away from the sun rays outside. He goes deep until every tiny sound in the tunnel echoes and seems to louden tenfold. Everything around him is now a deep bluish black, and it is as though he has wandered into the deep ocean. Except that there are no disgusting mutated deep water beings around him. There is only him alone, and the sound of his echoing footsteps, the pattering of water droplets dropping down from the ceiling, and the intermittent whistling and roaring as the wind outside forces its way inside the tunnel. This was why Enzo came here in the first place, to hear the glorious wind sing a unique tune when entering this hollow that Enzo now stops and stands inside. He is deep in the tunnel enough for the sound to be just right. Closing his eyes, he leans back against the wall behind him and waits for it. A gust of wind blows through the tunnel, and the reverberation it produces is just what Enzo needed to hear. A tiny smile grows on his lips as though feeling the kick of an unborn baby when touching a pregnant wife's stomach. Raising his brow, he waits for another one. The next one is softer than the deep howling before. This one is a whistle, a hypnotic one at that. It brings him to a memory he had never been a subject of. Nobody's memory for that matter, as it is nearly impossible for it to be experienced in the real world. It is more so a mood than a visual, of a steam train that glides above and across an endless ocean surface. The sound that the steam train produces is much like the whistle he is listening to now. Soft and rounded, not intrusive in any way. Then the water below the train begins rippling and bubbling, popping, causing a smooth and soothing but scratchy whispering noise. This is not purely the sounds of a daydream, isn't it? This sound is coming from outside the tunnel. Enzo opens his eyes and looks towards the opening of the tunnel that now seems to have become more dull in color than when he had entered it. How is that so? Could he have been here for so long that he had lost track of time, as he usually does, and now it is night time? No, it is drizzling outside. The scratchy whispering noise is of distant raindrops. The sky has gotten darker due to this moody weather. If that is the case, then Enzo really must have been inside this tunnel for longer than he feels, that the change of weather has crept up on him without him knowing. It should be something that could be predicted at least half an hour before it happened. Is this how long he has been here? Half an hour? Anyhow, it is time for Enzo to make his move towards Panorama Motel, where he will be staying the night. He should get going before the weather gets any moodier than this. If it is going to, that is. There is hardly terrible weather in Pella's Wish. Even if rain starts pouring like there is no tomorrow, it will be the quietest doomsday here in Pella's Wish. Enzo would just prefer not to get drenched in the rain on his way to Panorama Motel. Dragging one foot ahead of him, Enzo feels the ground for the train track in the deep darkness, and then he starts walking alongside it. And as he moves towards the exit, he eyes the ceiling above. How this tunnel has aged. Standing at the entrance, Enzo stretches one hand out to get a feel of how heavy the rain is. It isn't heavy enough for him to get drenched when making a beeline for his car parked a short distance away. Though he isn't going to make a beeline for his car, he will take a leisurely stroll there. Still in all, by the time he makes it there, he shouldn't be too drenched in rainwater. Pushing his hair back and down, he begins to walk to his car. The drizzling sky hasn't changed intensity from when it began and until Enzo has reached Panorama Motel. He parks his car in a parking spot dedicated for the motel's guest. It is not surprising for him to find that there is only one other car in this entire parking lot, meaning there is only one other guest apart from Enzo. He imagines that it is an elderly man, a retiree who needs a quiet place to put his feet up, to reflect in silence on his youth and the good things and the bad things he had experienced in what was once his busy life. If this is the case, it is fairly impossible for this old man and Enzo to cross paths, as they both share one of the same wish, to spend the night here in Panorama Motel in silence. Before heading inside and towards the receptionist, he stands under the canopy between the parking lot and the motel building. Over here, he looks on ahead at the long corridor leading to the entrance into the main building. He wonders why this motel, that is already underused, needs this much more unused space. The usual case would be that they anticipated a more active business when they planned the structure of this building. Another reason could be that it was originally a building of another purpose that required more space than it does now. What could it have been before this? A museum, maybe? A mansion? How long ago was this? How long has this land been occupied? Enzo begins treading the corridor and eyes the walls as he walks, as though the walls will whisper to him the secret of the age, or for what reason this motel needs this much space. Could there be another side business that the owners are running and using some of the space to accommodate the other business? This seems likely. Some of the space could be secretly warehousing other products. This motel business can be the owner's bread and butter after all. It barely breaks even in this motel, Enzo assumes. Enzo reaches the receptionist's desk and books in. With his tiny bag slung across his chest, he waits for the lift at the lift lobby and eyes the digital numbers above the door. He lets his gaze wander down to the stairwell entrance beside the lift doors. Why not? Why not take the stairwell one floor up and then take the lift to his floor from there? It is what he would usually do anyways. Just as he reaches the stairwell door, his gaze meets the corner wall where he can catch a glance of the poolside recliners. He moves away from the door and closer towards the pool, inch by inch until he is standing in plain view of the swimming pool. He leans back against the dark beige pillar and fixes his eyes on the water, while the raindrops splash onto the water's surface, creating the continuous pattering. How many times in his life has he come across a scene like this? How many times has he let himself get absorbed in the tranquility of it? It reminds him of his school days, of when he was sick and couldn't attend classes. He would sit by the window of his room, coughing into his fist, rubbing his red nose, and he would watch the rain falling outside. There's a great many things it reminds him of, memories that most people would find too moody for their liking, but that Enzo finds utterly necessary to complete his life experience. It reminds him of his office days, that one late night when he was working overtime. By the time he had completed his paperwork, it began raining, and so instead of heading back home, he had decided to stand at the glass wall overlooking the opposite office building. It was then that he remembered it was his birthday. All the buildings around him were empty, at least that was as much as he could see and guess. Only a few windows were colored in the lighting of the office spaces opposite from him, but he couldn't see anybody through the windows. He had spent his 20th birthday staring out his office window at the sleepy cityscape. He watched how the rain fell past his eyes and down into the dark back alleys and onto the empty roads. He wouldn't have spent his birthday any other way. When the rain had stopped, it was midnight, and so it was his second day as a 20-year-old. The first thing he did was make himself a cool cup of milk coffee, and then he left the building but didn't make his way home yet. He sat on the roadside pavement outside the closed cafe and observed how the wavering light from the lamppost above him interacted with the damp, glistening road. It was then that he, a new 20-year-old man, found who he was. He was nobody, and he loved being nobody. What made him accept it now was that he simply realized it. He wasn't lying to himself anymore. And he didn't want to lie to anybody about it anymore. Anzu Busan is nobody, and so Pella's Wish is the perfect place for him. He looks up at how the raindrops fall from the thin, milky layer of fog that veils the shy sky. He has had enough moody recollections for now. It is now time for him to head up to the motel unit he had recently paid for. He tucks the key card into his pocket and enters the dim stairwell. He climbs the staircase up to the first floor and then calls the lift from the lift lobby over there. He rides the lift up to the third floor and then meanders along the corridor to find his unit. It doesn't take long for him to find it. Standing outside, he looks down from the railing and at the swimming pool he was standing at not so long ago. This time, as he stares at the pool, he is present and no longer reaching into his bittersweet memories. This time, he is creating a new memory for him to reflect on in another moody day. He enters his unit and cleans himself up, and then makes himself a cup of coffee and sits on the edge of his bed by the window.